Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, developing the Donegal workforce across engineering, manufacturing, retail, services, technology and agricultural sectors.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. You're welcome to Business Matters. Later in the programme, I'll be catching up with Helen Nolan, co-founder and CEO of Spree EcoSport, the award-winning social enterprise in Cairndonnell. But first, Ruth Graham is a Letterkenny-based illustrator and graphic harvester who set up her own company in 2015. She studied illustration in Cornwall and, after a spell teaching part-time, working as a tour guide at the old courthouse in Lyfford and continuing to practice illustration in her spare time, Ruth took the step to become self-employed. Ruth began by explaining that as an illustrator, her job is to translate ideas into pictures.
I suppose illustration would be the art of picture making. So I'm a picture maker. It's basically all about bringing information to life. And I suppose they say that pictures paint a thousand words. So that's what I do. I'm in the business of translating people's ideas into pictures that they can use then to promote themselves.
And how did you find yourself in that world?
I actually studied illustration at university. It was something that I've always had an interest in. And it was something then when I came back to Donegal, it was kind of a bit of a struggle because people don't know what it is and you're trying to explain it and maybe I'm not the best at explaining what it is. So it took a while to get into the groove and get the business kicked off and started. But once I got out there, I suppose more people know what it is and they can see my past work and then they get more of a feel for it. So that's how I set up.
Was it something you had an interest in as a young person, and where did you go to college?
Yeah, it was always something I was interested in. Yeah, I would have come from quite a creative household. It was a farm that I grew up on, but my mother would be very creative. She always had kind of an art of making something out of nothing, whether that was an itchy jumper or prop for a school play or whatever. So I kind of got that from her, the imagination and making something out of nothing. So that was where my art interest came from. And I did a first art course in Limavady in the north, and then I went to Falmouth in the UK to an art college there to study. So,
and when you came back, what did you do when you came back?
When I came back, I was sort of a bit confused for a while, didn't know what I was going to do, because illustration is all about being self-employed and working for yourself. So it was just a wee while of wondering, do I definitely want to do this? I taught art classes here for a wee while, did a bit of volunteering in the local school, and decided, no, definitely art teaching was not for me. I don't think I have the patience for it. So I also worked in the courthouse in Lyfford for quite a while. I was a tour guide in there, so a lot of good crack had. And then just in the background the whole time, for 2 or 3 years there, I was working on my own practice and my own artwork and getting to the stage where I could set out. And then I started my business in 2015.
How big a step was that for you?
It was a big step. I think, like, I did really like my job where I was working in the courthouse. It wasn't like I didn't like it and that I wanted to move on to something else. I was really enjoying myself now, but I still always had in the back of my mind that this was something I wanted to do. I wanted to be an illustrator, and it was a big old jump then to do it full time. But I had a lot of support. I joined a lot of groups here, went to the different networks and things like that, and went to different events and got a feel for other people who were self-employed in the area, and just got my confidence up a wee bit.
Was there one very good bit of advice that you got at the early stages?
I think just that, I suppose, you're a sole trader, but you don't have to be on your own with things. You know, get help, and there's plenty of people out there that can support you in business. Go and join your networks, speak to other people, and it doesn't matter what industry somebody else is in. They'll always have the same challenges. They'll have the same experiences. Every business owner, I suppose, no matter what they're doing, has cash flow or, you know, different things. They all have the same experiences. So if you talk to other people, you get a fair idea and get a handle on things. So that was the best bit of advice, I think.
You're 6 years in business. The first five, I'm sure, are extremely different to the last year.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the first five. First.
Yeah, the first five, it was good. It was sort of increasing year on year. I think as you get better, as you growing in your business, like you're improving all the time. People are getting to know you. Your name's getting out there. So there's a gradual growth, you know, year on year. And I think then when everything hit, there was a bit of a panic because you didn't know what was going to happen, what way everything was going to go. For me, I'm quite lucky. I work in an office in my house, so there was no big change there this year. And a lot of my work is in Dublin, so I'm well used to doing Zoom calls, emails, and working remotely on things. So I am in a very lucky position, you know, that I know a lot of other people aren't, that I can continue to work from home. And it's actually probably been quite busy, you know, with it's a lot of things are moving online, so a lot of people need illustrations, animations. A lot of the clients I work for would be big organisations and charities, so they're doing a lot online. So that's all been quite steady, really.
Has the shift of businesses to use online services, has that increased your business and the demand for the service you provide?
It has, yeah. A lot of the work I would have done before would have been around events. A lot of those events are now moved online. So the people are maybe looking for animated explainers or animated workshops where they would have been able to go out maybe to schools and things before and deliver these workshops. Now I'm creating pieces that they can use online. So there has been a big demand for animated pieces, and especially as well because there's a difficulty now with getting video, getting photographs, whereas an illustrator can do all that work without needing anybody else around them. So that's a good bonus as well.
In relation to your client and your client base, can you tell me about some of the people that you work for?
Yeah, I would work a lot for some of the big charities. I work for Concern quite a bit and Sightsavers. And I'd work as well with the National Youth Council of Ireland, the Marine Institute. I've worked with lots of them, sorts of groups, the HSE. And then I've worked with corporate clients like AIB and the likes of them. And sometimes it's by myself, and sometimes I actually have a network of other freelancers and other people that I can work along with. I have other collaborators all across the country that I can, you know, we can work together on bigger projects. Maybe I can do the illustration, they can do some animation, some project management, those sorts of things. So that's the kind of areas I'm in.
Offline books and publications are still, I'm sure, very much part of your business.
Yeah, I suppose I would do a lot of the printed materials I would be doing would be kind of corporate printed materials. I would do like fine art prints and things like that to sell. That's been quite busy at the moment. That's another area. I suppose it's you've got to work in lots of different places, online and offline, I suppose, when you're in my line of work.
Have you noticed much change in the 6 years since you started, Ruth, or has the change been much more notable in the last year?
I think things are moving very fast now in the illustration world because a lot of people are taking the time, they've got more time at home, and maybe the trends are kind of in the style of things are actually moving on quite quickly. As well, I suppose, maybe people that were employed, that maybe were furloughed and are taking, you know, art up as a hobby. So we've got these people that are coming up on our tails. You know, we've got to keep it fresh and keep moving on. So there's been a kind of a fast movement in the illustration style world. Yeah.
You mentioned the importance of getting involved in groups and networks. I know you're a member of the Donegal Business Network. Mm-hmm. How important is that for somebody like yourself that's new or relatively new to business, Ruth?
I think it's so important. There's lots of different reasons why it's important. I suppose when you were like me and starting up and you didn't know anybody in the area, you know, that's number one. As well, I would not be particularly confident in going out. And I remember when I started the group, I was thinking, I'm not going to be able to go in here and talk to these people in suits and, you know, talk about my business. But that's something that you, for going to these networks every week and getting used to that, you really build up your confidence. And that's a life skill that I suppose is important. It helped me then when I was going down to talk to different corporate groups, that you've got this background behind you, that you can go in and talk to people. Also, I'd say just the aspect of having people you can talk to about your business, you know, and not feeling like you're by yourself, because we all need a wee bit of a moan sometimes, and maybe our friends and family are kind of sick hearing us. So at least you can talk to these people and complain, and also they can celebrate with you and your successes, and kind of, you know, root for you, you know. You get that feeling that they're all rooting for you. And, you know, you have a Christmas party every year. You've work colleagues, like fake work colleagues, and you've good work stories then when you come home and, you know, you can chat about all the crack that was had that morning. So as well as the financial and business aspect of it, that all those other good things that come with it are really important to me.
Pre-pandemic, I know that working at conferences was a big part of your work as well. Mm-hmm. How important is it for you that we make a return gradually to normal life and normal business life?
Yeah, that would have been a big part of things, and a lot of stuff was cancelled, I suppose, at the start there. I had a lot of good projects lined up, and I do feel for people, particularly in the event industry, like that's all just gone, and it's very sad for those people, just the uncertainty. I think it will be really nice, you know, when things are going a bit more positively, that they can return. And I hope that there is a good boom and a good support for people when they do come back. I think there will be. I think there'll be an appetite for it, you know, when everything's calmed down, for people to get out again. We'll all be sick of sitting inside at that stage. So, yeah.
Were those conferences opportune for more work, word of mouth, and showcasing what you did already?
Yeah, definitely. I would have, so a lot of these clients that I work with now, I would have originally got in with through doing these live events, where I would have gone to the conferences and listened to what they were saying, and then I'd basically draw during the conference or event. And that was just, yeah, a great way to showcase, as you said, and get people on board, get people knowing what you're doing, and then they can see that you do all this other kind of work and hire you from that. So definitely.
What's the quirkiest thing that you've drawn at one of those conferences?
I don't know. There's been some unusual conferences. You go to these events and you come home and it's like, I've just listened to a full day of these people talking about something I had no idea of before I went in. I've done like anesthesiology conferences and conferences in business. I don't know. I've had to draw. One thing that was, I think a phrase is used a lot in business, having a goal, but having a big, hairy, audacious goal. That's what I learned at one of these conferences, a BHAG. And I had to draw that. So I had to draw the letters and make it like a big, hairy monster. I think that was an unusual one to try and visualise, but yeah.
And finally, Ruth, what lies ahead for yourself and your business in 2021?
Hopefully just more and continuing to grow. And I like to work with, do good work and work with good people that are making a difference in the world. That's kind of what I like to do. So I just want to do more of that and hopefully get outside a bit more in the meantime.
And that was Lyra Kenny-based illustrator Ruth Graham. Join us after the break when we'll be talking to Helen Nolan.
Are you confused about using social media for your business? Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service can provide you with introductory training. Contact Enterprise Engagement at donegaletb.ie or call 912 0500.
In 2010, a group of mothers came together to open Cairn Donagh's first dedicated parent and toddler group. Since then, Spree Agus Sport has grown to become a hugely successful organisation, catering for all ages and sectors of the community. Helen Nolan is co-founder and CEO of Spree Agus Sport, which continues to innovate and adapt in these trying times. Helen recalled how the need for one facility has led to the creation of so much more.
Just over 10 years ago, myself and a few fellow mums were attending the Cairn Donagh Parent and Toddler Group. The room we were using, we weren't allowed to have a cup of tea or any biscuits. So we thought, you know what, that we have to find a dedicated home so that we can enjoy a cup of tea and watch our children play. So we approached Jerry Doherty here in the Supervalue complex, and on the 17th of November 2010 we opened our doors for the first time in Unit 7, and right from the beginning people really responded to what we were doing. There was a real need for supports for stay-at-home mums and their children. And initially we had offered 3 sessions of parent and toddler during the week, but before long we were offering summer camps, after school activities, breastfeeding support, pregnancy yoga. So within 10 years we had grown from delivering 3 activities a week to over 60 classes every week to 700 users. These activities, I suppose, now span over kind of five key areas. So we look after young families, children, young people, adults and enterprise. So for young families, it's all about, as I say, parent and toddler and all the supports for new mums. For children, then we have breakfast club, after school club and lots of different activities in the evening like School of Music, creative writing, arts and crafts during the summer holidays. We have multi-activity camps, lots of STEM type workshops as well. For teenagers then, we run an alternative respite program for children and teenagers with a disability, where they can come in here on a Saturday or after school to take part in a recreational activity of their choice. And then for adults then, we run a lot of adult education classes in the evening. And then the enterprise part then of Spree is our charity shop, Fido, on Bridge Street. And we also have a digital fabrication laboratory as well, where you pretty much can make anything that you want.
There's nothing that doesn't happen here, obviously.
Yeah, we do. We've catered for, before COVID, our youngest user was a two-week-old baby who was attending breastfeeding support with her mum. And our oldest participant was Mary, who was 89, and she attended the quilting club every week. So, yeah, look, a great span of workshops and activities. Kind of the model we've always used, Kieran, is that we always listen to what people want. So when somebody comes in and says, oh, do you do X, Y and Z? Once we have a facilitator that can deliver the class, we always try and run it then. You know, we've got great support from different funders over the years, like Donegal ETB and Ashone Development Partnership, Rethink Ireland, the Community Foundation of Ireland. You know, so we've been lucky in being able to get funding, you know, for different programs. We ran a lovely one there in November called From the Creative Ireland Project, where seven businesses were able to use our Fab Lab to develop ideas for their own businesses. And that worked out really well. So that's something we'll be hoping to do again in the future as well.
Are you surprised at how successful it has been over the last 10 or 11 years?
Yeah, I have to say, do you know, whenever we... whenever myself and my group of friends got together to say, you know, we're going to set up the parent toddler group, like, we had no idea that it would be something like this. But I suppose all our children were very young at the time. My girl was the oldest of the group and she was five. So it was kind of from five all the way down to a few months old. So Spree then sort of developed as they grew, because as they got older, we were like, oh, you know, it'd be nice to have, you know, a tin whistle class or a guitar class. And, you know, other people were telling us the same thing. So that's kind of where it's got to.
What was your background and what was the background of those who are the co-funders?
Yeah, so my background is actually in accountancy. Kieran, I would have been the financial controller of a company called Boyne Valley in Drogheda before I moved back to Carndonagh 13 years ago. So that, I suppose, has stood us in good stead, because, you know, everything that we do is kind of based on a model where we are sustainable and that we're not overly reliant on any particular funding stream. All the other co-founders would have had, you know, sort of customer service. They would have been involved in planning, just a whole mixed planning. We had an engineer and a childcare person. So, yeah, it was just a whole mix of people with different skill sets. But I suppose at the end of the day, our big grah was that we had wanted, an outlet for ourselves and our children. And look, we got that and a whole lot more.
How have the last 12 months been for your own organisation?
Yes, definitely trying. You know, when we had to close the doors on the 12th of March last year, as I said, we were delivering 60 classes a week. We'd over 700 feet through the doors, and we were very much a face-to-face, you know, community responsive organisation. And then all of a sudden, 6 o'clock that evening, we had to close the door. And so, you know, we sat back over the weekend, and I suppose we just did what we always do. We just respond to the needs of the community. We say, what can we do? You know, we're not going to sit back and do nothing. So within a few days, we come up with the concept of Project Kinnell. So at this project, we launched a helpline 7 days a week from 8 to 8 throughout the first lockdown. And this is where people who were vulnerable or older or isolating could phone us, and we would, you know, phone in their grocery order, pick up their prescription, organise delivery of it. We then Worked with Initial Development Partnership, the Exchange in Buncranach, Manny Community Centre, Moville Resource Centre and Muff Community Centre as well to launch the Inishowen Food Bank, and that's something that we're still doing today. So we would support an awful lot of families through that. We'd have collection points at all the main supermarkets throughout the peninsula, and then each one of us then in our own region organise collection and delivery of that. We also, through the Fab Lab, we began producing visors last May, so we'd produced over 1,000 visors, and they would have went to, you know, community hospitals, nursing homes, and then for a lot of businesses returning to work. So I suppose we were definitely able to adapt and innovate. We then brought a lot of our classes online, and that's actually running rather successfully. Three of my girls do piano, and I have to say it's kind of handy when they all can just, you know, swap seats at the piano in the house rather than up and down the road. So piano, creative writing, guitar have all worked really successfully online. A massive piece of our work here is around being inclusive. You know, from the outset, 6 months after we set up, two mums who had children with cerebral palsy, you know, contacted us to make sure, you know, they were like, Helen, please make sure that anything Spree does includes our children, you know, and that has stood with, you know, has just stayed with us throughout, and we really try to do that as best we can. So we brought a lot of online classes for children with a disability online as well, and we're still continuing. Every Wednesday we have Zoom bingo, and they absolutely love that. We have a few winners, they get posted out with some prizes, and that's always super, super fun. And then we were able to bring back the alternative face-to-face alternative respite a bit, and you know, much smaller pods from last June. So we continue to do that a morning a week and every Saturday as well.
You mentioned facilitators. How many are employed in the organisation?
So we would have 3 full-time staff. We have 13 part-time staff, and then we would hire the services of, over the course of a year, and normal times, Kieran, probably about 70, you know, because we just run so many different camps during the summer, and we have such a variety of activities during the week that we have a broad reach of you know, people that would come here and deliver services for us.
What part of the building are we in at the moment?
So this is actually the building that we set up first in. So this would have been our initial parent and toddler. As you look around here now, you can see that it's full of clothes rails, clothes. So this is temporary fix. So it's part of our way of innovating. I suppose on the 12th of March, when the doors closed, all our income streams stopped, you know, our traded income, our fundraising income. And it was a big shock to us, to be honest, you know. And we thought, what are we going to do about this? Because, you know, if this ever happens again. So we have a lovely charity shop on Bridge Street called Fado. And we decided, I had seen something prior to this. It's called Thriftify. They're a social enterprise that has a platform for charity shops to sell online. So we took the leap, and we decided to bring our charity shop online as well. So we have some TY students. One of them is my daughter, Evie, and we have Valerie, Maeve, Alana and Rosanna. So they spent a day every week out of their TY program to upload all these hundreds of lovely items that we can see here onto our platform. And you know what? It's working out really well. As the months go on, you know, the income that we're generating from that now is definitely increasing. It's hard work, but you know, it's well worth it. And so we're delighted now to have another income stream. I think we have sent since last June, we have shipped over 270 orders, you know, to pretty much every country or every county in Ireland, and even some to the UK and France as well. So the way I look at it is that's all additional income that's coming into Cairn Donna. We try to keep as much of the money that we raise locally, you know, so it's all local facilitators in the main. You know, whenever we're buying anything, we try to buy it from, you know, the local businesses. So, you know, for us, it's great because then that's money that's, you know, been raised outside of Cairn Donna coming into Cairn Donna.
You mentioned the necessity to adapt and to innovate, and as you have well outlined there, through the shop and the workings, that's been a success. you made the national headlines back in February in regard to Valentine's Day. Talk to me about that.
Oh, that was just amazing, Ciarán. So we had done a lovely PR piece. Shane Kirby had written a lovely piece about lockdown and love. And Eileen Magner picked it up, said she'd love to come up to do a wee piece. So we were like, oh, absolutely. So she came up and filmed us here, just talking a little bit about Spree and about our idea for fundraising. So yes, yeah, so in our Fab Lab, you can pretty much make anything out of wood or plastic. So we had run a really successful Christmas decorations piece in December. So we came up with the idea then of Valentine's, and our manager Emer had come up with a couple of nice strap lines, "You're essential to me" and staying apart but still in my heart. So we ran with those. RTE covered it, and yeah, the response we got just blew us away. We got orders in for 800 magnets. I had to take everything down off the website that night after 6 hours, because we knew, you know, we only had such a short window. Everything had to be in the post by Tuesday, that there was only so much we were going to be able to do. So we worked all day Saturday, Sunday, and got everything in the post on Tuesday, and we got such a fabulous response. We were delighted. So I suppose, you know, we came up with this idea, we innovated, we adapted, and now we realise, you know what, there is a market for this. So I think, you know, we're going to look now at this being a part of our sustainability model into the future, where we will be making personalised wooden gifts. We already have some St Patrick's Day, Mother's Day, and we're getting our Easter collection ready now as well. So it's been a very interesting year, you know, but, you know, we really miss all the face-to-face, and we really can't wait to get back to that. But look, it has taught us a whole lot of other different things as well. So it's been great.
You don't miss a trick.
We try not to, Ciarán. You know, we just love what we do here. We really do. And, you know, it's all just about, just making Carndonagh such a lovely, great place to live and work. And, you know, we just want to, I suppose our big thing back at the start was that we didn't want anybody to lose their job here. You know, we had, as I say, the 3 full-time and 13 part-time, and we wanted to make sure that they were still going to be with us. And we have, you know, successfully succeeded in doing that, you know. So that was key to us. And then all these initiatives, like putting our Fido online, the magnets and the gifts through the online shop, you know, they'll all be key to that going forward.
Have the experiences of the last 12 months galvanised your organisation and made it a better organisation?
Definitely, yeah. We're very strong. You know, I think it is really clear that, you know, that we're able to innovate. I think going forward for funders and, you know, for donors or anybody looking in, you know, that they can see that we're really strong, that we're able to, you know, in the face of all of our business just stopping overnight, that we were able to take a step back and just respond to what we felt our community needed and wanted. And we were able to deliver on that really, really quickly, you know, within a week. And then as the year has gone on, we've just, you know, picked up different ways of innovating, of generating income. So I think it puts us in a really strong position going forward. I feel that if we hadn't done any of these things, you know, that we wouldn't be as strong. I think, you know, the staff can look on and say, look, we played a really important part during the last year, which they did. No matter what was asked of any member of staff, all their job descriptions changed overnight. You know, they just got on with what they were asked to do and just really delivered, you know, for Spree and for the community.
You mentioned funding. How important is state funding, and how important will that support be for Spree going forward?
Yeah, no, so we're very lucky that we do get state funding from the likes of Pubble for the Community Services Programme. You know, we avail of the National Childcare Scheme as well, and we would have a service level agreement with the HSE. So all of those are very important. You know, Spree wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be delivering these level of services without it. And I think the fact that, you know, we have been so innovative over the last 12 months, you know, will just prove to our funders what a strong organisation we are, you know, how well we're managed and how well we're able to cope in times of adversity, you know, so that I think, you know, going forward, you know, that funding will stay and hopefully grow, you know, as they look and to see what we have achieved over the last 12 months.
Spree has won many awards during the years. It came up tops in the Community Wellbeing Initiative back in November. I'm sure a great sense of satisfaction.
Oh, we were absolutely thrilled with that. Yeah, you know, we've been lucky. We've won a national award now. That's our third year in a row. We had won Social Enterprise of the Year the previous two. So look, at winning an All-Ireland award like that is absolutely key, especially something coming from the department. You know, when we spoke about funding there, we have a massive funding application in at the minute to the Rural Regeneration Fund in partnership with Donegal County Council. And it's to convert a couple of old buildings up the town, actually, into co-working space, a bigger space for our digital fab lab and a teenager, a dedicated youth space for teenagers, as well as changing facilities for people with complex needs. So, you know, to win an All-Ireland Award, especially a government department one, just again, you know, reinforces, you know, Spray Yoga Sport has been, you know, a really great organisation. You know, we're transparent, we work really, really hard, and that we're definitely somebody that people should look to invest in.
How important is it that allocation gets the go-ahead?
Oh my God, Kieran, so important. Oh, absolutely. To be honest, we'd be devastated if it didn't come through. You know, it would just, there's definitely an appetite for co-working. We have a couple of desks. We definitely need more. There's a serious lack of facilities for teenagers in the town, you know, so we really want to move on that. And what we always want to do as well is try and make Carndonagh a disability friendly town. It is, but just to make it more so, and that this would create what's called a changing places toilet facility. So anybody coming to our area, whether it's a tourist or somebody from another town or even somebody from the town, would know that they would have somewhere safe to change a person in their care that had complex needs. So I think that would be a huge, huge asset for the town. Part of it as well is to create a creative hub to try and, you know, have a dedicated space for all the creative artists that live and work in the peninsula as well. So yeah, look, we're really, really hopeful. We've put in, it's been 4 years of feasibility studies, surveys, talking to people, and you know, Donegal County Council then, you know, have submitted the application now in partnership with ourselves. So we know it's really strong, and we're hoping, obviously, it's going to be one of the strongest ones in there so that it does get funded.
You mentioned talking to people. That seems to be the key to your success, that you Absolutely. Do talk to people and you roll out the service once there's a demand for it.
Absolutely. You know, and a perfect example of that is we launched a wee survey there 2 weeks ago called Did You Have a Baby in Lockdown? We have gotten over 210 responses from mums that have, from not only just from Donegal, from all over Ireland, even from New York and Canada as well. And on the back of that, then we were asking them, you know, what kind of classes would you like to see online, you know, to support you. So on the back of that, now we launched baby yoga last week and music. Next week, we're starting baby massage, and we have a weaning workshop, and then there'll be other workshops then coming up over the coming weeks. So it's always been about that. We'll often do surveys and send them out to see, you know, what is it that people are looking for, and then we try to respond then based on that.
The importance of technology has been very apparent. Could you imagine life without Zoom at the minute?
No, I know. None of us had hair to Zoom this time last year, and now there's days where we're just Zoomed out, aren't we? It's fantastic, and it has been a great tool for us as well. You know, everybody just seems to just be able to use it. So, you know, it is very easy to use, and, you know, it's safe, and it's been a great tool for us to deliver, you know, our online classes and certainly these things now with the mummies and babies as well.
Since you set up in November 2010, is there one thing, Helen, that you're most proud of?
Just really proud of everything, to be honest. I suppose, you know, just really proud. We've celebrated our 10 years, and, you know, that Spree has become this fantastic community resource, that we've created so much employment, and that so many people just really love the services that we provide. You know, some of the lovely things we've heard over the years is that, you know, you've changed our life. We don't know what we do without you. You know, my children really enjoy coming to Spree. You know, it's great to meet other people. So all those things, yeah, just proud of it all, Kieran, to be honest. It, you know, it was just an idea so that we could come together to have a cup of tea while our children played. And all of a sudden, 10 years later, it's a really important, it's a national award winning organization. You know, we're getting recognition, you know, across the country. You know, when we just take part in, you know, different things, I suppose, as well, in terms of networking, like I mentioned before, you know, with Rethink Ireland and the Ireland Funds, and, you know, I'm taking part in the Empower Growth Program, you know, and that's all about networking with, you know, with other women that have set up businesses as well. The Minds is the only social enterprise that's on it. But, you know, that's with GMIT and LYIT. So it's really important for us to develop those kind of links, because even out of that, you know, we have a master's student 3 days a week now on placement from LYIT, doing some research work for us around the co-work and all of that. And then with GMIT then, you know, another individual on a programme, you know, has asked us to create a prototype in the Fab Lab. So all these things will all, you know, it's all part of a bigger jigsaw, really, isn't it? You know, you make all these connections, and they're all just really important then, in terms of us sustaining other parts of what we do.
So there is no standing still at any stage?
No. No, I wish I could sometimes. I know, yeah. Look, we love to be busy and just to be doing things. And, and just, you know, when we have been so successful with securing funding, you know, for the likes of the Fab Lab, and, you know, having the support of Cairn Community School and the TY students, you know, it's just giving them their best experience, us making the best use of the equipment and the resources that we have, you know, so that other people can see, you know, what they can do. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're hoping maybe, you know, somebody will come up with an idea, they'll be able to use our resources to develop it, and who knows where that can bring any of us.
Finally, Helen, what does 2021 hold for Spree Eucosport?
So, yeah, well, look, we had hoped we'd be back at full throttle at this stage, but, look, that's not looking likely anytime soon. So it's probably still going to be very similar to last year. We're going to just continue with our online shop, with developing the Fab Lab a little bit more, and developing our personalised gifts. And so we're also looking with the HSE, with hopefully maybe developing some day services for school leavers here from September, so that would kind of be a new addition. But unfortunately at the minute it's going to be a lot of more online. Hopefully fingers crossed, we'll be able to do some outdoor stuff in the summer, because we ran a lovely surf camp last year with Dan in Inishon Surf School, you know, where at least I think there was about 300 kids got to get out and do a bit of surfing. So we'll do that again this year, and hopefully by September, Cairn will be in a place where we can open the doors again and do more face-to-face.
Helen Nolan, co-founder and chairperson of Spree Eucosport, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
No bother, Cairn, thanks very much for having me.
So that's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests Ruth Graham and Helen Nolan. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the programme, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETBs for their education and training service, developing the Donegal workforce across engineering, manufacturing, retail, services, technology and agricultural sectors.